as I've been getting ready for this series, I'm excited about it simply because, like I told you, we need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And he's always speaking. How many know God's always speaking? I learned to pray at an early age because my parents were praying people. Some of you know heard the story. My dad would get us up at 5:30 in the morning and we would pray, and he preached here and actually said it. It was not just something that he believed in, us praying as a family. We prayed all the time. Pastor Kevin says this a lot. He goes, talking about it is not the same as praying about it. How many know that God's called us to pray? And so we need to be a praying people. And during this time, God wants us to take a look at, we're actually talking about this as well on Wednesday nights. If you're not acquainted with Wednesday Night Live, Pastor Terry and I preach, we speak on Wednesday nights, and we've been doing this same thing, talking about hearing God. And so we're able to, for about an hour, break it down and be able to be more, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. Somebody said, well, Dudley said that's not good. In a teaching situation, it is good when we do that on Wednesday nights. What does it look like to hear God? How do you pray? Because a lot of people, I remember the first time when I was little, when I was younger, and how do you pray? You hear, you be standing in them circles, right? Standing in a circle and praying, and then you're like, oh, Lord, please don't let it get to me. Please don't let it get to me. Please don't let it get to me, right? Because you're just like, man, I can't pray like Sister So-and-so, and that man, and she was praying, this lady was praying, and just like Michael was saying, the comedy guy, he goes, man, she only doesn't know Jesus' name. She know all his nicknames, you know, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. She know all his nicknames. And she would pray all these prayers and El Shaddai and all. She would quote scripture. And then, you know, then it would get to me. And I didn't know what to say. I was just like, you know, Jesus, well, I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? So you feel that way. But really, if you think about it, prayer is really just having a communication with the Lord. It really is. When I'm alone with Vanessa or even whatever, communication. I know her voice because I'm familiar. 25 years of marriage, and we were dated for 2.5 years. I know her voice. I know, like I said, when she calls my full name, I know what that means. You know what I'm saying? I know the tone of her voice. You know, I know when she says certain things, I just know. It's like, oh, when she says, oh, really? And I'll just be like, no, not really. You know what I'm saying? I know certain things. And so that's me knowing. So God wants you to be able to know his voice, and that's for you to be able to pray. And for you to pray, because it's really not as hard as we make it out to be. And I want to tell you this. I know this for a fact. God wants to commune with you. He wants to have communication with you. So that changes the narrative. What I mean by that is, if you know somebody wants to talk to you, you'll talk to them. But if you don't believe that somebody wants to have a conversation with you, you won't want to. Anybody want to have a conversation with anybody that doesn't want to talk to them? Body language showing that they don't want to talk. Then that changes the game. But if you know somebody wants to have communication with you, you know that he wants to hear your prayer. Matter of fact, he says, this is the confidence that we have. The Bible says this. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we pray according to his will, he hears us. The point is, pray according to his will. And so we're going to get in that in just a little bit. How many of you as a child, or maybe a little bit older, ever heard this book by Dr. Seuss called Horton Hears a Who? Raise your hand if you ever heard. Just raise it. Okay, so you guys are familiar with the story. Vanessa, when the kids were real little, she used to read this story to the kids. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I've tried to read it. I've read it a couple of times, but it takes too long. But if you're familiar with it, if you haven't read the story, it's a little bit of my premise today. In this story of Horton Hears a Who, there's a town, a group of people, a city of people. They have a mayor. They have streets. They have a whole town of people who are on this clover, this flower, and they're so small that no one can hear them except for this elephant. And so they need help. And the fact that the elephant is there and he can hear them, they cry out to help for him, this elephant, and he hears them and he says, how can I help you? And as they realize that they need help, the elephant says, I'm going to stick by you through thick and thin. I'm going to do everything I can to help you, because no matter how big a person is, no matter how big they are, a person is a person no matter how small. That's what the print means. If all throughout the book, it'll say that, the story, it'll say that. They turn to the elephant, no matter, and so they get tossed away, but nobody else can hear them. The kangaroo can't hear them. The monkeys can't hear them. And they think that the elephant is crazy because he can hear them. And he goes, there's nobody on that flower. You're crazy to think that. And so they take the flower and they put it on the eagle. The eagle takes it and throws it in the field and they can't find them. And an elephant goes and finds them. He goes, I'm telling you, there's somebody there. There's a town of people there. And no matter what the elephant does, no matter what he does, he does everything he can, but he cannot save the town. Not only can he not save the town, but the other people, they tie him up. They tie this elephant up. And they say, he says to the flower, the town of Whoville, he says to them, you have to make a sound for them to be able to hear you. And so they do. They start yelling. They start screaming. They try to do everything they can to get everybody to hear them. And he goes, they still can't hear him. So they finally, at the end, find some little kid who's off in his room, not doing anything. The mayor yanks him and pulls him to the town. And he goes, now make a sound. And he makes a sound. And all of a sudden, everyone can hear them. And so the town is saved because now everybody in the town is participating in talking, making a sound so that the town is saved. Now, you're saying, now, Chris, that is not in the Bible. Why in the world would you tell us this story? Let me tell you the similarity. There is a group of people called the church. Yep. Come on now. And in thinking about everything that has happened in the world, everything that the church thought would happen, they turn to an elephant because they think the elephant is going to save them. The elephant does everything he can in his power to save them. The elephant does everything that he knows he can try to do to save them. And try he will, and try he might, and try everything that he has in the book. The elephant cannot save the people. Not only do they not save the people, but they got him all wrapped up. They tie him down with litigations. They tie him down with all these different things to try to keep him from trying to save people. They try to do everything they can. And so the elephant says, I can't do anything for you. They've got me tied up. The only way that you're going to be able to save yourself is everybody in the town has got to join together to make one sound so that they can be heard to save their country. So here's what I want to tell you today, that it's not talking about making a who. Because it's not talking about just making a sound, but the body of Christ has got to rise up and pray. Because the Bible says, if my people, it didn't say half of my people, a quarter of my people, some of my people. He said, if my people who are called by my name, if there are anybody in here who is called by the name of Jesus, can you make a sound in here this morning? We are the people of God. We are the people of God. And so God is saying, if my people who are called by my name would gather together, would humble themselves, we have to come to a place of humility. Well, the body of Christ, even in the United States, we think we're the baddest nation on the planet. I want to tell you, I don't know if nowadays, if you say bad is good is bad, you don't know what you're talking about. But I want to tell you, I still believe that the United States is the greatest country and the greatest country on the map. And I believe that God has called us for such a time as this. But I do also believe that we are hanging in the balance. We're on the brink of something because the church has not stood up and been the church. The church has been silent. We are good about praying for people to get in office or praying for people. And then after a while, we get to a place we'd be like, ah, God, you got it. And we don't pray anymore. The church has become event oriented, where we pray for events, but in the event of something not happening the way they wanted to, we stop praying. Why is that? Why is the fact that the prayer meetings in the church are the most least attended meetings that we have in the body of Christ? Oh, yeah, I'm going to step on some toes this morning. Why is it that the women gather to pray a lot and sometimes we can't get men to pray? Why is it that we talk about prayer, we try to preach about prayer, we even hold events about prayer, but at the same time we can't get people to come to prayer? Why is that? Somebody could say, is that your fault, Pastor Chris? Is it the preacher's fault? Is it the facility's fault? What is the fact? What is the problem when it comes to prayer? And I want to admit to you this morning and tell you that the reason why the church doesn't pray is because we've lost faith in the fact that we can pray. Church don't want to pray. We want to pray because we'd rather try to do it on our own. We try to give it to somebody else. We'd like a party to do it. We'd like for the elephant to try to do it. Somebody would say, Pastor Chris, you Republican? Are you a Democrat? I'm a Christian. And I want to tell you, just like I've said before, I don't believe that God rides the backs of donkeys or elephants. But in this time, ladies and gentlemen, we need a lion. I'm talking about a lion of the tribe of Judah. We need a lion. Can somebody say lion? We need a lion, and he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible says that Satan walks about like a roaring lion, but my God is a lion, and it's time for him to roar. And during this time, not only do we need a lion because he is the lion, but we also need the lamb. You can't have the lion without the lamb. And we need the lamb because the world is passing away and people are going to hell and people are dying and going to hell. And we need the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth to be able to shed his blood so people can come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Oh, you don't hear me this morning, but I'm telling you, we need a lion. We need a lion and we need the lamb. And in the world, the lion and the lamb doesn't make sense because they can't exist together. I want to tell you that the both are the same person. His name is Jesus Christ. And we need the lion and the lamb to be able to in this time. Do you hear what I'm saying? Not only do we need the lion and the lamb, I would go on to say we need another animal. We need the dove. We need the power of the Holy Spirit during this time. Let me tell you the reason why we need the power of the Holy Spirit is because you can't do what you need to do, how you need to do it on your own. You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. He said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And not only for what? To be able to be his witnesses. And so we need the lion, the lamb, and the dove. Well, are those three different people? They're the same people because he's a triune God and he is a king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. The ballots have been cast. The votes are in. He is still on the throne. And because he's still on the throne, he's still redeeming lives. And if he's still redeeming lives, he's still saving people. He's still delivering people. He's still setting the captives free. He's still healing the sick. He's still being God all by himself. He is our God. He is the King of all kings, and we need to see him as such in this nation in Jesus' name. I want to tell you today that the reason why I'm saying this is because if you put your trust in a party, if you put your trust in a party, you're going to miss out. Now, you do need to vote according to the principles in the Bible. I don't know how you can vote for the murder of babies. I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can vote for the same-sex marriage and different things like that. That's not in the scriptures. I don't know how you can go along with all of this stuff trying to talk about racial equality, but the truth of the matter is that we're all equal in the sight of God. Whether it's Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, I'm telling you, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. We are the people of God. So I don't know how you can slant that and try to go a different way other than what the scriptures say. And so that's why we got to be able to play. You cannot vote necessarily and pray for just a party. We can pray for people. But the truth is that everything has to line up with his word. And not only that, scriptures say this. At the end of the day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every single knee. What about all these different powers of the world? Take a knee. What about all this stuff going on? Take a knee. But when you don't see what's going on, take a knee. My coach used to say that, take a knee. But coach, take a knee. So you know what's got to take a knee? Cancer has to take a knee to the name of Jesus. Sickness has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Listen, all the other powers of the world, all the things going on, take a knee because it has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus Christ. So that's why we pray. We're not praying to a party. We pray to God, save a party, save everybody. But that's why we pray. Now turn over to Luke chapter 1. Yeah, this is the pilot for the rest of the series. Luke chapter 1. Guys, actually it's Luke chapter 11. It's written on here wrong. So I'm like, what in the world? We are not. Verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. Now, I want you to remember, look over just for a minute. I love getting the scriptures with you guys because remember, you know what I'm going to say. Don't just read the scripture. Put yourself in the script. Put yourself in the story we're about to read, okay? We just got to praying that God would illuminate it. But here's what I want you to say. Now, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. Now, think about this. His disciples saw him doing this on a regular basis. That he was praying in a certain place when he ceased. They were smart enough not to interrupt him. That one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say with me, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is where we're going to stop there. We're going to keep on reading. But everything you need for daily prayer is in that scripture, is in these passages. Not only that, I will go on to say this. Now, the disciples, listen to me, listen to this. The disciples saw Jesus do a lot of things. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him perform miracles. They saw him do crazy stuff. I mean, whether it was water into wine, they saw him do all these different things. But the one thing they asked him to do, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Because the truth is, you can do all that stuff, but if you don't have a connection to the Father, he said that. I am not here on my own accord. There's somebody who sent me. So he's connected to the Father. And he said, when you pray, pray this. Now, he said, pray this way. But let me tell you something. The best part of this prayer is this part right here where it says, after our Father in heaven, hallowed be their name. And it says, your kingdom come. Say that with me. Your kingdom come. The next one is your will be done. The best prayer you could pray for your life. I pray that over my wife. I pray that over my family. I pray it over this church. I pray it over you. I pray, Lord, I pray that your kingdom would come. Your will be done in their lives. I pray it be done in your kingdom come. Your will be done in their marriages. I pray your kingdom come. Your will be done in their children. I pray your kingdom come will be done. I pray that over all of you. If you call this church your home, even if you're not, even if you're visiting, I pray that over you. And it's the best prayer because it's not my will. It's not what I want. It's what you want, Jesus. It's what you want because you have the final word. So many times I'll be praying what I want. Y'all looking at me like y'all don't do that. You know you do that. Don't you? Tell me you do like God. And you don't say it. You don't. I mean, you're not forceful about it. You just kind of advise God on what you think he should do. That doesn't work very well. It's true. You guys, I mean, I love it. I remember praying and asking the Lord, Lord, in the seventh grade, Lord, if you could, Debbie is amazing. And I'm not even talking about Debbie's snack cakes. I'm not even talking about little Debbie. I'm like, she's amazing. One day, Lord, if you could just have me marry Debbie, I'm telling you what, I'd be a set. I'll never ask you for anything else ever. Anybody ever? Come on. Anybody? If you can just do it. Lord, I was doing that even at an early age. Debbie is the one. Let me just tell you this. Now that we have Facebook, I am thankful that God did not answer that prayer. Now listen, she may be watching, but I don't know because there's a lot of Debbies in my life. Anyway, here's the truth. She probably's praying the same thing about me too. Like, Lord, thank you that you didn't answer. Let me just tell you something. Some of you need to thank the Lord that he didn't answer some of the prayers that you prayed when you were... Some of y'all pray some crazy stuff, and you put that thing on the end of it. We're just like, hey, God, if you would just do that, I'll never ask you for anything else ever again. Lord's like, not only am I not going to answer that, but you crazy. But the truth is that he answers prayer. God answers prayer. But he says the confidence is not in praying what you want. Not in praying what you want. I've done this before. Well, like, God, if you could do it this way, if you would just do it this way, you know what they need, Lord. You know what they really need. They really need this. And if you could do it this way, I'm telling you, they would come to know you. And he didn't do it that way, but he did it anyway. And it was better than I could expect. Because he's a better than that guy. He just is. He's better than what I can expect because he's a good God. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you? And so that's who he is. So we pray not according to our will, but your will be done. Your will, God. It's not what I want. It's what you want. Because he has the best in store for you. Do you believe that? Here's what it goes on to say. It said, and deliver us from the evil one, verse 5. And he said to them, which one of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. And say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. Now, with a friend like that, who needs enemies? You know what I'm saying? This is his friend. Yeah, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask. Everybody say ask. Yes. And it will be given to you. Seek. Everybody say seek. Seek. And you will find. Knock. And it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? Say it again. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I want to tell you, listen to me. He tells us to ask, but he didn't tell us how many times to ask. He tells us to seek, but he doesn't put a time limit on it. He tells us to knock. But he didn't tell us how many times to knock. So I want to encourage you this morning. You ask until you can't ask no more. You keep asking until you can't. I'm telling you. And see, the truth is that we look at that and be like, that's horrible. Because he's talking about, just talking about prayer. But the truth is, he's a good, good father. Not only is he a good father, but he's so good that he answers prayer. And so you knock. Until you can't knock, till you can't knock anymore. You keep on knocking simply because you can just keep on asking. What prayer does, ladies and gentlemen, is align us with his will for our lives. Because when we pray according to his will, it aligns our hearts with what the Father wants for us. He already knows what you need before you ask. If he already knows what you need before you ask, then why am I asking him? Because you may be asking amiss. You can be asking something to consume it on yourself. But if you ask according to his will, what he wants, he'll grant it. Because it's what he wants anyway. Amen? I was talking to someone the other day, and they were like talking about Valentine's Day that just came, right? Valentine's Day. When I was younger, I could get Vanessa. Vanessa's not one of those flower and candy type of women. Whoever left a pecan truffle turtle chocolate tails in my office, thank you, by the way, whoever that was. She won't be eating those. I have been eating them. But anyway, thank you I don't know who that was, but thank you. Here's the deal. She's not one of those people that was like, honey, I got you flowers and I got you candy. And me, hey, happy Valentine's Day. Vanessa's not like that. Now that I'm older, I got to come in and be like, who wants new floors? You know, it changes. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Who wants, girl, You want some new floors? You know what I'm saying? How about them cabinets? You know what I'm saying? I can't do like a gift card to some, you know, flowers.com. I got to come with, who wants a new flower bed? Jazz hands. You know what I'm saying? You got to come with the thunder. You got to come with everything. And so I know that's what she wants. Who wants to remodel the bathroom? You know, it ain't flowers and candy ain't going to cut it. You can give those to the contractors working on the house. They ain't going to cut it. It changes over the years. You hear what I'm saying? So here's what I want to tell you. That one of those deals where we talk about praying, lining with God, God knows exactly what you need, and he's still a promise keeper. He's still saying that my promises are yes and amen through Christ Jesus. I still answer prayer. I still heal the sick. I still raise the dead. I am a miracle-working God. And because I'm a miracle working God, align yourself with his will so that his will can be done in your life. Some of you, I'm just going to say this because it is in my notes. Some of you are disappointed at God because he didn't answer the prayer the way you wanted him to answer it. He didn't do it. And not only that, some of your prayers, not only did he not answer it the way I wanted him to answer it, Pastor Chris, he didn't even answer it at all. And so you get disappointed in God. I want to tell you this, that the enemy wants you to be disappointed in God, because when you get in trouble, who are you going to go to? Who are you going to pray to when you get disappointed in God? So the enemy wants you to be disappointed in God. So I want to tell you, we're going to pray that whatever your disappointments, you can cast those on the Lord, because he still answers prayer. I am looking at answered prayers in this room right now. At the same time, we forget about those different things. I walked into Tom Thumb the other day, and I had been free from this addiction for a long time until I saw my dealer at the Girl Scout cookie table. I'm looking at you, Jess. I'm talking about I was free, Mom. I was absolutely free. And sometimes I can see him. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get through, because not only do they have that area covered, but they got that door covered too. I'm not going to be able to pass through them. So I got a lot of myself. I'd be like, I'm going to go in and get something. They'd be like, would you like some Girl Scout cookies? Yeah, I don't want some Girl Scout cookies. Them snickerdoodles and them little, that coconut and the maroons. I love those things. So I think as cool as I'm trying to walk in, I got to walk in and be like, y'all got any more of them, you know, the peanut butter cookies, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got a crack addiction, you know what I'm saying? Because I know I got issues when the Girl Scout cookies come along. Spend all my money. Here, just take it all. But the truth is that's one of my weaknesses. The enemy knows your weakness, and he's going to try to exploit it every way that he can to keep you from praying, to try to keep you from praying. I'll just do it on my own. It didn't work last time, so I'm going to do it this way. God is saying, put your trust, put your hope, put your faith in me. I am the one who can answer the prayer. Not only can I answer prayer, I can free you. Put your trust in God. I'm looking up to the hills, which cometh my help. My help coming from the maker of heaven and earth. And not only that, some trust in horses and some in chariots, but I trust in the name of our God. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous can run into and be safe. And so you can put your hope and your trust in him. There's plenty of places for disappointment, but he tells us to ask, tells us to seek, and he tells us to knock. And so you keep praying. You keep seeking the Lord. You keep asking the Lord. You say, Lord, I haven't seen it yet, but that's just what faith is. Because now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. And I put my trust in a God that can call things that be not as though they were. And I'm not seeing it, God, right now, but I know you're still working it. How do you know? Because he works all things together for good, for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But it doesn't look good, but he's working it for good. It doesn't feel good, but he's working it for good. And you may not be in a good situation, but you serve a good God who can turn a bad situation into good. And he'll turn it into good because he's good that way, and he knows exactly what you need. So he's turning it for good. And if it's not good, then he's not done working on it. If it's not good, then he's not done. And so, you know, sometimes you can pull bread or something out of the oven and you poke it in the middle and it's not done. What do? Put it back in the oven. So he's still cooking. God is still baking. He's still doing stuff. So put it back in the oven and let him do what he knows he can do. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are all my needs met? Nope. But that means put it back in the oven. Put it back in the oven and let him cook. Some people pull it out too quick and they think, well, he's not done, and so therefore it's all ruined. But I want to tell you, if it's not done, if it's not good, he's not done with it yet. That's why I say this about people sometimes. You ever met somebody and they feel like their cornbread ain't done in the middle? Some of y'all still trying to figure out what I'm talking about. Not done. Half-baked. Not done. Here's the truth. Put it back in the oven and let the Lord cook. He's working on your situation right now. He's working on your situation right now. He's working on it. Say he's working on it. Look at somebody and say he's working on it. Have you seen my children? Nope, but he's working on it. Have you seen my marriage? Nope, but he's working on it. Have you seen my finances? Nope, but he's working on it. Have you seen my church? Yep, he's working on it. Have you seen my pastor? He's working on it. So I'm telling you right now, he's working. Look about somebody and say he's working. I've been working on the church. He's working. And so you let him work. Let him work on you. Let him change you from the inside out. Let him do the work that you can't do. God, I've tried all I can try. He goes, good, move out of the way, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And because my strength is made perfect in your weakness, I'm working. Let me work. Let me keep on working. Because when the work is finished, when the work is done, voila. It's going to be a good work. How do you know? Because he's working all things together for your good. So keep on asking. Lord, I'm telling you, I don't see it. You look at the White House, you're like, Lord, I don't see it. You're looking at all the things going on. Lord, I don't see it. He goes, good. You don't have to see it. Just put your faith in me. And as you put your faith in me and your trust in me, I will never fail you. See, we sing those songs. He won't fail. He won't fail. Here's the truth. He has never failed. And he will never fail. His love never fails. Because love never fails. And he is a God of love. And he loves you. And he's got good things in store for you. And he is working all things together for good. So I want to tell you, pray. You pray, become a praying in church. You pray for your marriage. You pray for your spouse. I want to tell you that the reason why I am not the same as I used to be is not somebody's thinking, well, you've done some self-help stuff. You've listened to some tapes. You've listened. Some of y'all are like, tapes? What is that? Anyway, you've listened to some. You've listened to things. And that's the reason why you're not like you used to be. I'm going to tell you what. I got a praying wife who prays for me all the time. I not only that, I got a praying mom and a praying dad who pray for me all the time. I got spiritual fathers and mothers in my life who pray for me all the time. Not only sometimes they get creative with it. When they realize they can't reach me or they can't reach me with words, they be like, let's pray together. I'd be like, okay. They go, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would change his mind. Not only that, Lord, that he would submit to your will, not his will. I pray, God, that he would come under the subjection and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and that he would change his ways. Amen. No, Lord, and I'm asking you that you would go the distance and change his mind and mold him and shape him and if need be, break him. I'm like, amen. And then, Lord, after you get done with that, I want you to change his spirit, that he would submit and he would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to him. Amen. And then, Lord, they try to preach me and pray me to what? But I'm telling you what, you can't beat a praying church. You can't beat praying people because you can't escape the prayers of people praying for you. How many know that you wouldn't be? Some of you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for somebody praying for you. I'm praying for you. And not only if I'm praying for you, I'm just telling you that when you know you have the Lord interceding for you, How many know he gets his prayers answered? We're going to pray in just a minute. I just got a couple minutes. But some of you, when I was talking about being disappointed in God, I want to pray for you for that. In the last 2 weeks, I have prayed for people, and two of them passed away. I prayed for a young man who was 34. They had to take him off of life support 3 days ago. And I'm like, Lord, I don't understand why that happened. And here's what the Lord said. He goes, will you trust me and continue to pray? I said, yes, Lord, I will. He goes, that's all I need to know. Will you continue to pray? So some of you, it didn't happen the way you wanted it to. But I'm going to ask you, will you continue to pray? If there's a prayer meeting that we have going on, I'm going to ask you to attend it, be a part of it. If there's something that we're praying about as a church, I'm going to ask you to keep on praying because he answers prayer. I'm looking at some of you guys that are answered prayer. I'm looking at you. I know he's answered prayers. I'm looking at you. I can see it. I know, yeah. I can see it. I can see some of the prayers. I mean, I can tell. I can look at different prayers that I prayed over the years, and I've seen them come to pass. And I'm thankful that he's a miracle-working God. Amen. Amen? Amen? My mother used to pray for my brother, my oldest brother, who was mixed up. He'll tell you this. He was mixed up in drugs and stuff. And my mother would pray prayers, dangerous prayers. She goes, Lord, every time he puts the drugs to his mouth, pray that he gets sick. Pray, Lord, that he... I'm like, Mom. She goes, be quiet. Pray with me. I'm like, I don't know if I can pray with him. Every time he takes a sip of alcohol, I pray that he gets... And I'm just like, Mom. She goes, be quiet. Pray with me. I'm going to tell you what. We've seen the Lord change all of us over the years because you cannot escape. The prayers go around bars. They go around walls. They go around boundaries. And there, so you keep on praying. Pray to a God who answers prayer. This is what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks.